This is the first time I've been out of England since the last time I was in Switzerland at the end of 2019. So it's been really good to come here, and it was good to spend time with children and youth leaders from across the Archdeaconry yesterday. I grew up in rural Buckinghamshire in a tiny village called Padbury, and many of my neighbours were sheep farmers. At this time of year, there were always newborn lambs, and they were often warmed in front of the farmers' argers. Incredible care was taken over just one lamb. Farmers would be up all night caring for them, giving them sustenance, making sure they were warm enough to survive. Rural communities know about sheep farming, and so did God's people, the Jews. There are more than 500 mentions of sheep and shepherds in the Bible. Right back at the start, Adam and Eve's son Abel was a keeper of sheep. The Israelites were nomads, and as their livelihood, they had sheep to provide wool and meat and lanolin. When they were slaves in Egypt, brickmakers, God brought them out from slavery to freedom, and it was the blood of a lamb on their doorposts that gave the angel of death the sign to pass over the Jews. Now at Passover, the annual remembrance of that act, a sheep is always slain and eaten. King David, the shepherd boy, started out looking after sheep. And the prophet Ezekiel had sheep and shepherds as metaphors for God's people. He talked about the faithless leaders, bad shepherds, who cared for themselves with a promise that one day God would send the good shepherd, that God's self would become the shepherd, their leader, to care for them, feed them, tend to them, and bring them back together into one flock. So for Jews, and particularly for their religious leaders, the idea of shepherd and Messiah, the promised one from God, were closely linked. No wonder Jesus talked about himself as a shepherd. Earlier in the passage from John, which we read in year B, we're in year C, the Anglicans do things in very strange ways. Don't call it 2022, it's year C. We heard Jesus talking about himself as the good shepherd. Now we have moved on a few verses to where the leaders of the temple were wanting to question him. There was every reason to expect that with all their familiarity with shepherds, sheep and God in the Hebrew scriptures, that they would have understood and recognised when Jesus called himself the good shepherd. So I'm sure that when he did that, Jesus thought, not a problem, this'll do it, I'll call myself the good shepherd and they will work out exactly who I am. I am the good shepherd, he said. Nope, not a flicker from his disciples, the religious leaders, the ones who knew the Torah so well. They didn't see the pieces falling into place. They were just bewildered at what Jesus was saying. It was only after Jesus' death and resurrection that the first disciples and then many others began to tune in and started to make sense of Jesus' teaching. It was much later than that, I guess, that some of the religious leaders, who in the passage we just heard were saying, "When will you tell us plainly?" realized that Jesus had told them plainly, but their ears weren't listening. And that's why each year on the Sundays following Easter, the lectionary readings take us back to the start of the early church. And we hear stories of those for whom the words, "I am the good shepherd," had helped them to recognize Jesus as Messiah. And if you like, it's a chance for us to tune in again to the beginnings of Christianity, to see the radical difference it made to the lives of those first followers, and to ask ourselves individually and as a church community, how are we shaping up as the sheep of the Good Shepherd? Are we tuning in to the Good Shepherd's voice? So what was it helped those first followers explore their newfound faith? In the tradition of all good preachers, I may not be a good preacher, but I'm following their traditions, I'm going to have 3 points. Firstly, they listened to the teaching of the apostles, the 12 who had spent 3 years following Jesus, being bewildered at what he said, and then recognizing him as Messiah. They heard Peter and the others explain how Jesus was the good shepherd, to whom the scriptures pointed, he was the one sent by God. No longer was keeping the law the way to live. Jesus, God's own son, had come to bring life, forgiveness, and relationship with God in a new way. Our reading from Acts talks of a woman. There aren't many references out loud to women in the scriptures, but Dorcas or Tabitha is recognized as somebody who served God through acts of service. So week by week, we hear the Bible read in church. The trouble is, it can be a bit like catching the odd episodes of a soap opera. There are favourite characters, but new plots that you don't understand because you haven't watched or listened to all the previous episodes, so you can't quite make sense of it. To make sense of what we hear in the Bible, we need to know what's gone before and what comes after. Not just listen to the Sunday parts, although that's a good thing to do. Making the Bible part of our everyday lives, getting to know the sweep of Scripture, makes the connections which help us to come closer to God. Secondly, the early Christians spent time in the temple worshipping. They didn't have new buildings, they didn't have a place like this. So they did what they'd done before, where they had met with God. They gathered in the temple and synagogue. Having encountered God in a new way through Jesus, they could tune in to the familiar prayers and singing with fresh meaning. But there was a new dimension to their faith, which couldn't be expressed in the temple and worship. It was in the breaking of bread together, as Jesus had done at the Last Supper, that they remembered the fully human Jesus and celebrated the risen Christ, fully God, present with them fully in a new way. As we share Holy Communion week by week, we break the bread and eventually we will be able to drink the wine together to share in Christ's body and life and to remember that we are one body with those Christians then, with the Christians down the ages, with Christians now and with Christians still to come. Our personal faith isn't just individual. It's part of a corporate expression of the communion of saints across the world. And thirdly, this newfound faith made a difference to the lives of the first Christians. They lived out the teachings of Jesus. His teachings led them to do things differently. They spent time together in fellowship outside of worship. Their attitudes towards money and possessions became less self-centered. They were ready to share what they had with those who were in need. They took risks, risks which sometimes included the possibility of prison and death, in order to proclaim the news. They served others, as Dorcas did. It's all too easy for the stresses and strains of 21st century living to mute us to the radical nature of the faith to which we're called. And these years of pandemic have exhausted us, and for some of us have made us feel weary of having to keep trying. It can feel hard enough to put aside time to come to Sunday worship, let alone live out that radical call of Jesus to have a bias towards the poor and the vulnerable, to stand with the oppressed and to oppose injustice. These weeks of Easter, with the early church at the centre of our readings, call us to examine again how we make space to understand the call of God. What might need to change in our lives and in that of our church community? Part of the role of clergy and wardens and the council is to keep calling us back to the fundamentals of our faith, to ask us how we are expressing the love of Jesus and witnessing to him as a church. But for each of us, we also need to ask the question, what is the difference that following Jesus has made and continues to make to me? Those sheep farmers in rural Buckinghamshire taught me that every lamb, even the ones that looked as though they would not make it through the night, was important. The love that they lavished, the disruption they embraced as they woke through the night, feeding, caring, tending, involving their families to bring these lambs to full strength, was sacrificial. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. My sacrifice is to lay down my life for you and to call you by name. In these days of Eastertide, May we tune in again to the voice of the Good Shepherd. May we be able to put together the pieces that Scripture are pointing to, that Jesus is the Messiah and calls us not to be white and black and fluffy and go bah, but to be the followers who live his life and show him to the world. Amen.